2 Corinthians chapter 2 in your Bibles, and if you have a Bible there, I hope you'll look there for just a moment. If not, you'll see the text up on the screen in front of you, and you'll notice that here the Apostle Paul uses an interesting word four times in just three verses. That word is the word savor. Savor, of course, is an old English word that means fragrance or aroma, and in order to illustrate what Paul uses by this term, I've brought this candle. This is a Christmas candle that I bought for my mom, which I had wrapped, by the way, and placed in her Christmas stocking, but I sneaked in and took it out. I don't know why I say sneaked. She's literally listening to me right now, confessing to it. But Louise always loved these candles from Bath and Body Works, which I always got confused with Bed Bath & Beyond, BB&B, BBW. I mean, what real man knows the difference, amen? I can tell you, years ago, I got Louise a gift card for her birthday, and it was supposed to be from Bath & Body Works, but I got it from Bed Bath & Beyond. And she opened it, and she said, "Nice try, buddy." She said, "This is where you get vacuum bags, not where you get candles." So I've learned BBW is better than BBB. Amen? Keep that in mind. And a few days ago, when BBW had their big candle sale, I got Crystal some. And my mom, this one is called, what is it called? Tiki Beach. And it does smell like Tiki Beach. And maybe you're wondering, Pastor, that's not a Christmas candle. Well, I'm sorry, but Meli Kaliki Maka, or whatever it is the time to say so. You might be wrong about that. But in other words, Tiki Beach is the savor, right? It is the fragrance or the aroma. And you know, for me, I can tell you that the fragrance of some of these candles just take me back literally to a certain time and a certain place. And especially the one called Fresh Balsam. They were burned when our boys were little, ever since they were little, because they reminded Louise and I of Christmas trees, our trees we'd go out and cut down up in Michigan. And so you see again, four times, you'll notice Paul alludes to a certain fragrance, an aroma. And for the Corinthians, as well as for the Philippians, from whence this epistle was likely written, the savor that Paul is referring to was very, very familiar. It was so familiar that these Corinthians and these Philippians would have taken notice of what the apostle was talking about. The savor here he's referring to, you'll notice in verse 14, if you have your Bibles open or even up in there, it says that God causeth us to triumph. The Roman triumph was a victory parade. It was sort of like a New York City ticker tape parade that they used to use in New York City. And in those days, Caesar would use this parade to reward his conquering generals. This triumph, this parade, through the imperial city of Rome, and sometimes through the general's hometown, included city officials and magistrates and soldiers and Roman senators and trumpets and carriages and the local pastor riding on a vintage fire truck, amen, all of those things. But also included in that triumph were the spoils of whatever province the general defeated in war, foodstuffs and jewels and gold, animal sacrifices, statues that they brought back, exotic animals, and also, note this carefully, bound or in cages, captives that were taken back as slaves or for execution. And this is why Paul uses this word savor. In each Roman triumph, there were included an overabundance of incense, as well as flowers strewn everywhere in the streets before the general's chariot. Those flowers, crushed underfoot and hoof, would give out this beautiful aroma, along with all that incense, created an unforgettable smell of victory. However, that exact same smell, the smell of victory for the Romans, would, for those captives and for the soon to be executed, be remembered as something else. For them, it is the smell of death, and thus the smell of defeat. So that you see the exact same savor meant exactly opposite things to two different groups. And so that's why you'll see verse 15, Paul says these words, "For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, to them that are saved and to them that perish. To the one, we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other, the savor of life unto life." So, there you have it. The exact same aroma meant two different things to two different groups. When I was 14 years of age, my youth pastor in North Carolina took me to Ohio to visit with his parents July 4th weekend. One of his bucket list lifelong dreams was to play at Firestone Country Club in Akron, Ohio, a longtime PGA Tour stop. And so he asked me to come along and drive the cart and just enjoy this famous place, and so I did. But about 45 minutes into the round, a storm rolled in that was a torrential downpour. It was just dumping waves and waves of water on us and on the course. We took shelter under some big trees by a fairway, and there with all of our umbrellas, we waited and we waited and we waited. And as a non-golfer teenage boy, I just thought it was kind of dumb. You know, I mean, what are we doing here? Don't they have bowling alleys in this town? They have roofs and things. But he was determined, as dumb golfers always are, to keep on waiting to play. After a while, rain still pouring down, the fairways and the one green that we could actually see were just covered in water. It looked like rivers and a lake with a flagpole in the middle of the lake. And sitting there, I'll never forget, against that black, ominous sky and sheets of water, all of a sudden, there came these beautiful ducks that just came soaring, diving down, and they did this skidding landing with their webbed feet right in the fairway, just feet away from us. Brother Bill and his dad and his brother, they're sitting there, and they're all sad, and they're wet, and they're miserable, and they're anxious. But these ducks that flew in, I'm telling you, they were in heaven. They were splashing and excited and happy, and they seriously seemed to be like they were playing some sort of a game right in front of us. I think it was called Humans Are Stupid or something, but they were loving every minute of this. And so I spoke up and I said something my dad always said whenever it was a wet, rainy day. Dad would say, "Jimmy, it's a great day for a duck." And I said that when my dad said it, I always laugh, but when I said it, I just got serious golfer stares at me. But again, you'll notice what was awful for them was awesome for those ducks. So that the exact same weather got two different responses. And I'll tell you why. Two different natures. So when Paul talks about these two aromas, he's speaking about two words back in verse 12. You'll notice them if you have your Bibles. Christ's gospel. This aroma is God's plan of salvation in the Word of God. And Paul says that this truth of salvation, the choir just sang so beautifully about this truth, it changed my life, Paul says, and when it was preached in Macedonia, and when it was preached throughout all of Rome, for some, it became a sweet savor of Christ. For others, it remained a stench of death. The question this morning is this: which is it really for you? And which will it be the moment you pass on and face a holy God? You may notice up there or in your Bibles two words in verse 15. You see the word saved, and then also you see the word perish. Saved or perish. In verse 16, there's two other words. See the word death, and there's also there the word life. Now, I want you to hear me very, very carefully. This is the message of God. This is the testimony of Jesus himself, that everyone in this world can be divided up into two categories: those who are saved and those who will perish. Those who have life, everlasting life, spiritually, and those who are dead spiritually. Now, folks, I have no doubt that if I were to light this candle and let it burn, Tiki Beach, I'm sure that some people would love the aroma and some people might hate it. Some people love the aroma of those cookie candles, you know, snickerdoodle and gingerbread. I'm not a big fan. Some people love them. To me, it's lazy. Just go cook some cookies so we can smell them and then eat them afterwards. Amen. But here's the point. The candle, if I were to light it, it's the same candle for everyone. Same savor, same aroma, same fragrance. What isn't the same is how people react to it. And so Paul says that for this gospel and the salvation story, there's only one. There is only one true gospel. There's only one God. There's only one begotten Son of God. And there's therefore only one true Savior. You see, but Pastor Blaylock, people have changed that notion in recent years. People have added and altered the aroma of the gospel to try to make it more sweet-smelling to everyone. I know. That is why Paul writes those words in verse 17, right after our text. If you look at it, he says, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God." In other words, you cannot change the candle. God's plan of salvation is eternal, it is immutable, and it is perfect. What can be changed, indeed what must be changed, are people's response to it. You see, Pastor, must be changed? Strong words? Yes, must. I'll remind you what the Lord Jesus said to a very religious man. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. That is, you must be if you want to go to heaven. You must be if you want to know God. You must be if you want your sins forgiven. And you must be born again if you want God's nature and be part of His eternal family. Otherwise, the very same good news of Jesus' birth and sacrifice and resurrection that brings eternal life and has to millions of people will only concentrate your own eternal death. To reject God's Son is reject His message to us that you must be born again and accept Him. To the one, it is the savor of death. To the other, it is the savor of life. To those who are saved, the truth becomes very sweet, but to those who perish, it remains truly a stench, and more so even when you face a holy God. Man cannot change God's salvation, but His salvation does change men and women. I will remind you that Paul himself once hated the aroma of the gospel. He hated it so much that he fought it. And he fought all of those who now, like him, sought to spread it throughout the region. But when he met Jesus, it was Paul who was changed. It was Saul who became Paul, whose life was transformed by the same gospel. And then it became a sweet-smelling savor of Christ. For many of you here today, and so many others who are watching, I know, online, if you're wondering why there's so much joy in what the choir sang earlier, why the birth and the coming of Jesus Christ is such a sweet savor, all of the story to God's people, let me remind you of one of the stanzas they sang from Behold Our God. Who has felt the nails upon His hands, bearing all the guilt of sinful man? God eternal, humbled to the grave. Jesus, Savior, risen now to reign. Now, wait a minute. Bearing all the guilt of sinful man? That's a Christmas message? That's a sweet savor? Oh, yes, it is. Understand something. God does not forgive sin. Let me say that again. God does not forgive sin. God forgives sin. Sinners, the sin has to be paid for. The sin has to be borne by someone. And it was. Upon the shoulders of Christ Jesus were your sins placed. The question is this: have you as a sinner been forgiven for those sins? Have you accepted that payment, that bearing of your sins upon the Son of God and on the cross? In a moment, We're going to sing the familiar words to Just As I Am. One stanza in that great hymn says this: Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because of thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. I wonder this morning if you'll come to him for salvation, for forgiveness. You can come and be saved right there in your pew or right there in your home if you're watching. Salvation is a gift of grace. It was a gift that was paid in full when the Lord Jesus died and shed his blood on the cross. And what God calls you to do is receive that gift by faith. Let me say this and I'll close. If I wanted to give this candle to somebody as a gift, it's paid for. Angel's on the front row. Hey, Angel. How you doing, buddy? Let's say I wanted to give it to Angel. He's a bus kid. I didn't know he was going to sit here, but he did. He's one of our bus kids. Got saved last week. If I wanted to give him this candle, what would he have to do? Pay me some money? You got any money on you, Angel? Any cash? Nope. I didn't think so. This is $16, you know. You got $16 on you? Would you love to give this to your mom for Christmas? You'd love to, right? If you could? Yeah, I know you would. He has no money. If it's a gift and I say, well, Angel, you got to go over there and wash my car and get the wheels nice and shiny, and then you can have it. That's not a gift. If I wanted him, if it's paid for, and I wanted him to have the gift, there's only one thing that he must do. And that one thing, come up here, Angel, come right here. Grab that. Give that to your mommy, okay? There you go, buddy. All he had to do was take it. Receive it. Now you say, Pastor, that's so simple. I know. Jesus took a child and placed a child on his knee and said, except you become as a little child, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. That the faith of a child, the simple faith of receiving a gift, that's what God wants you to do. Because he paid for it. He bought your salvation. God does not forgive sins, he forgives sinners. He took sins. He bore your sins on that cross. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for your word. We are grateful for the sweet-smelling savor of Christ. That for those who are saved, it is a smell, the aroma, the fragrance of life unto life. I pray for those in this room and those listening and wherever Father may be listening in the future as they watch, that they will recognize that the gospel will not be a sweet-smelling savor when they face you if they're without Christ. And may they on this moment and at this moment accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We praise you for that. And to that end, in Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.